newsletter and you saw the list of texts that I thought I would be preaching on, you realize quickly that I'm making a change today. That's what I call pastoral privilege. Before we read God's word, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill each of our hearts that we might hear God's word for us this day. Let's pray. Lord, our prayer is that of the psalmist of old. Lead us in thy truth and teach us. You're the God of our salvation. On you we wait all the day. Amen. My text is perhaps somewhat of a predictable choice on All Saints Sunday, so it's with a bit of fear and trembling that we go there. But I want us to read from Hebrews chapter 11 in a version called The Message. It was edited by Eugene Peterson, who recently died and is one of those saints that we remember on a day like today. So let us hear this familiar portion with new ears as we listen to it in a bit different way. By an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned. By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and the walls fell flat. By an act of faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those under torture. There were those who under torture refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved abuse and whips and, yes, chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us. That their faith and our faith would come together, make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. You see what these mean? What this means? All those pioneers who blazed the way. All these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. This is the word of the Lord. The Olympic Games are always a lot of fun for me. As you found out last time, I'm an Olympic junkie. The 2016 Olympics, and what I really love about the Olympics are all the backstories, the things that don't make the headlines. One of the inspiring stories that came out of the 2016 Olympics was that of a diver by the name of David Budia. I hope I'm saying that right. He said this, "For much of my life, I bowed at the gods fashioned of gold, silver, and bronze." You see, in 2008, he qualified for the Olympics in the men's 10-meter platform individual and synchronized events. He was expected to do well and to win medals, and that year he failed to medal in any of the events. Budia was crushed. He wrote this, "I failed. I never cried as much as I did after that event. I let my country and USA Diving down. I thought I had disappointed my team, my parents, and everyone who had invested in me. I didn't get what I set out to accomplish. So I felt like a complete and utter failure." He went on to write, "At a dinner party after my event, everyone was eating and having fun. I locked myself in a bathroom and I bawled in there for an hour." He writes these words, "That's what happens when your God betrays you. The God of gold, silver, and bronze." He went on to say, "The Olympics didn't supply me with any joy. They didn't provide the happiness that I thought they were going to bring. It was like a punch in my gut. My world was completely shaken." So he turned to drinking and other pursuits to seek to fill the emptiness that he felt and found within. And that was the time that his swimming coach at Purdue University began to share his faith with David. That was when his life was transformed. He writes this, "Because of the work that Christ had done in my heart, my life was transformed, my diving was transformed. I continued to develop my skills, and in 2012, I once again made the Olympic team. This time," he says, "however, things were different. I didn't go to the London Olympics desperately seeking to win a gold medal. I went to London desperately seeking to honor the Lord, to minister to my teammates and my fellow competitors and enjoy the experience for what it was." In 2012 in London, he won gold. He made a third team in 2016, won a bronze medal. Our text talks to us about a great cloud of witnesses. Those who have learned about living a meaningful life. That's what David Budia learned. Life as a race with a goal in mind. That goal to pursue and find pleasure in God through Jesus Christ. You and I are on a journey. It's a journey of faith. It's a journey with a lot of ups and a lot of downs, isn't it? It's not a journey in which it's always rosy and peachy and wonderful and delightful. It is instead a race and a walk of faith. It's often fraught with potholes. But this journey of faith, this life of walking by faith, this life of setting our minds on things above, this Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a 100-meter dash. This Christian life, it's a marathon. And in a marathon, it's not about how you start. It's about persevering to the end. I know this will be a stretch for you to believe. I used to do triathlons. Yeah, I know. I did triathlons in my up until my mid-40s. And, you know, I did it because I, at one time, all I did was run, and I was the world's slowest runner. I mean, my theme song for running was B.B. King. I was built for comfort. I wasn't built for speed. And so I thought, you know, I can swim and I can bike, and I'm going to do I'm going to do a triathlon. And so I did those for years. And what attracted me to that sport was the idea. It wasn't about being fast. It wasn't about being the first. It was instead about persevering and finishing. This is a text about running with patience the race that's set before us. Running with perseverance the race that is set before us. Or as I like to call it, it's about the excellency of plodding. P-L-O-D-D-I-N-G. That's what this Christian life is. Putting one foot in front of the other. Doing the next right thing. The excellency of plodding along. This passage is a passage that's filled with encouragement. It's filled with stories of those who would look down and witness to us by their lives. You can do it. Keep on keeping on. It's filled with incredible stories from saints in days gone by. I encourage you to read this over again this afternoon and maybe fill in the blanks with some names of your own. In chapter 12 and verse 1, the writer begins with these words, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Now, I hate to do too much damage to your theology today. That does not mean that all of our dear loved ones are in heaven looking down on us, trying to see what we're doing. It has a different connotation here. It carries the idea instead that their lives, they're faithfully living out their baptisms. They're finishing the race that God set before him. Their lives witness to us and encourage us along this journey. He begins with that little word, therefore. And that word points us back to the list of those that we read in chapter 11. Those names that included some we know, and frankly, some we don't know. Enoch. We've heard of him, right? Noah. We're probably two for two. Abraham and Sarah. Names we know well. Names of people who walked by faith, put one foot in front of the other, and plodded along faithfully with God. And we read of Jacob, of Joseph. And then up pops Rahab the harlot. Right in there with Abraham and Jacob and Joseph and all of these. Rahab, the Jericho harlot, a prostitute who walked by faith. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Solomon. Add in the names of those that you would like to add for me. It's going to include a Maddie Sparks and a Pastor Dick Keltner. It's going to include a John Detweiler and a Dan Avery. It's going to include Mike Barrett. The list is a long list of mine that I... They're my cloud of witnesses. People who Scripture says through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, they made justice work, they took the promises for themselves, they were protected from lions and fires and sword thrusts, they turned disadvantage to advantage, they won battles, they routed alien armies. Stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world did not deserve them, making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Nameless, faceless, faithful people ran their race with patience and perseverance. They are a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. They are a cloud of witnesses witnessing to us of the excellency of plodding along and running this race with patience. That's who we point to on All Saints Day. There's also here the reminder of a cloud of witnesses from a little different perspective, perhaps. These are folks outside the church or on the fringes of the church who sit and watch to see if we practice what we preach. There's a cloud of witnesses looking and wondering, does our faith make a difference? Are we going to pursue justice? We never know what influence we're going to have. I recently read a story. It comes from World War II. It was a woman who received a letter from a soldier that she did not know. The soldier, his name was Murray. And he wrote that he had once been in her Sunday school class. And he remembered that she had spoken about Christ as a hero for the boys. He even mentioned the date when her witness had altered his life. She had kept a diary all her life, so she pulled out the diary that was from that time frame, and she wanted to read what she had written on that day. She said, "I came home from Sunday school discouraged, thought about giving up teaching." The entry read like this: "Had an awful time today. The boys were so restless. I'm not cut out for this kind of thing. I had to take two classes together. No one listened. Except at the end, a boy from the other class called Murray seemed to be taking it in. He grew very quiet and subdued, but I expect he was just tired of playing." She had touched Murray's life, did not even know it. Manny Sparks touched my life, did not know it. John Detweiler, Dan Avery, those witnesses that God uses to touch our lives and grow us in the faith. Being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, being encouraged by their lives, let us run with patience the race that God has set before us. And we cannot run that race effectively until we get rid of the stuff that weighs us down, whether it be regrets from the past or whether it be the burden of sin. We get rid of the things that weigh us down. That's why the author says, lay aside every weight, the sin that clings so closely. We can't live life fully. We cannot run this race with patience if we're bogged down with unfinished business and regrets and grievances, hurt feelings, trivialities, stuff. Instead, fix your eyes on Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The Christian life is not a short dash to glory. It demands perseverance and endurance. We're to run with patience the race that is set before us, putting one foot in front of the other, plodding along, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Enoch did that for 300 years. He walked with God. Noah did that for 120 years as he went out every day and worked on that ark. You and I are called to fix our eyes firmly on Jesus Christ as we lay aside all these other things and run with patience. Why? Because Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. And Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. You see, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. And he did so because there was joy in that journey for Jesus. there would be from the lips of his father, well done. Yes, there was pain, unimaginable pain. Yes, there was the shame and the agony of bearing our sin. And yet it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despised its shame. The joy of the Father's well done. The joy of being seated at the Father's right hand. The joy of making intercession for us as we run our races. There was joy beyond the pain and joy beyond the difficulties. With that cloud of witnesses around you, the writer says, keep your eyes on the ultimate runner. The one who created the race of faith and the one who is the only one who has reached its perfect end. Jesus endured excruciating death. Did not let the shame of his reproach squelch the joy that kept him going. Let me close with a familiar story that comes from the life of Eric Liddell. You remember him perhaps from the movie Chariots of Fire, right? That came out when I was doing all those things, and every time I'd go out, I'd hear the music playing. I'd have it on my... At that time, it was an iPod, you know. I had that, rocking the iPod, listening to Chariots of Fire. Well, we know that part of the story. Let me tell you the rest of the story. The faith that sustained Liddell and saw him to Olympic glory sustained him as he felt called later to go to China as a missionary during World War II. And that didn't end as gloriously in our minds. It ended with him being in a Japanese internment camp, but there in that camp, he continued to run with patience and perseverance the race that was set before him. There in the internment camp, he would rise early in the morning and spend an hour in prayer and Bible study before going out to make life as pleasant as possible for his fellow internees. He refused to condemn or criticize the soldiers who attempted to bully him. For Liddell, the Japanese were not to be feared or hated, but sought as sheep far from the fold. The rest of the story, he dies in that camp. His life is lived as one of the great cloud of witnesses to encourage us to run with patience and perseverance the race that is in front of each one of us. You woke up today. You are here today. Some of you checked your pulses to make sure. You got an extra hour of sleep and you're here. And you're here because God is not yet finished with you. He still has a job for you to do. He still has a job for me to do. He still has a job for you to do. And that job is to run with patience the race that is set before us, to continue to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, to pursue joy and pleasure in God Almighty. So keep putting one foot in front of the other. Put a smile and remember the joy that is set before you, the joy that one day, we're going to sit at table in a moment. And when we sit at table, we're remembering those who have gone before. Whether it be a Chrysostom or a Huss or a Knox or a Calvin or a Luther, we're remembering those who have gone before. But friends, when we sit around table, we're also looking forward to a time when we will be gathered with all the saints of all the ages, a multitude that no one can number. And we will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," to receive blessing and honor and power and glory. Is the race of faith always easy? No. No. There's an excellency in putting one foot in front of the other, plodding along with our God, knowing that He has hold of our hands as we fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. And we continue, by the grace of God, to do the next right thing. Amen. And amen.